This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The Dr. Courtney Show is brought to you by Novavax Vaccines, essential protection for essential bonds.
Welcome to the Dr. Courtney Show. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's a beautiful morning out here in Santa Barbara, California. I'm just beyond pumped today. I'm super excited because we've got a lot to get to today. We've got an amazing guest this morning, and we're going to get a chance to talk about how to take the stress from your pets during their appointment to their doctor. And we're also going to talk a little bit about vaccines, infectious disease. So we've got a lot to get to. If for anybody who's just joining this podcast for the very first time, we simply created this podcast for people who are doing amazing things on behalf of pets, right? People, amazing pet parents. These could be veterinarians, could be scientists, people on the boarding or grooming side of this wonderful pet community that we live in. To give a little bit of a framework, I just want anybody listening to kind of go through a little bit of a thought experiment with me in terms of what it means to go to the doctor, because I'll make a little bit of a confession. I actually do get extremely nervous when it's time to go to the dentist. And I know people are thinking, oh man, you're a little bit of a wimp. You know, that's totally fine. But there are a lot of people out there where their heart starts pounding. Now, imagine if that same dentist was speaking a language you didn't know, restraining you roughly, not explaining what they're doing, putting you in a chair and probing and touching things that hurt. That could be a really stressful situation. I think you'd need a little bit more than just the local anesthetic they give you, you know? So when I'm thinking about the millions of pets that are probably experiencing something very similar, there's one person I want to talk to. And there's one person that knows a lot about that. And I'm just so excited. Her name is Dr. Catherine Prim, and she's joining us today. And we'll be back right after these messages.
Sit. Stay. We'll be right back after a short pause. Well, four to be exact.
Hi, I'm Sue Hobbs, longtime volunteer for Cats Haven in Indianapolis. Cats Haven is a sanctuary and shelter for senior felines and special needs cats and kittens. We were started 27 years ago by founder Barbara Wills, who still runs the shelter today. We don't accept cats from the general public, but rather take cats from local shelters, rescue groups, and through vet referrals. We believe in turning scars into stars, and we find loving homes for as many of our kitties as we can. If a cat is unadoptable, however, it will live out its natural life in our cage-free shelter. If you'd like to help Cats Haven, you can make a donation on our website at www.catshaven.org. Just click the donate button, and I can guarantee that every cent goes to the kitties. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks for your help.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Thanks so much for joining us. This is the Dr. Courtney Show, and I'm Dr. Courtney Campbell. Dr. Prim, thanks for joining me on this podcast. I'm really excited about this.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Prim, yes, this is going to be great. Now, for everybody who's listening out there, set the scene a little bit for us. You are based down south. Is that true?
That's right. I'm in Tennessee.
Oh, congratulations on your hospital. It's Applebrook Animal Hospital, correct?
That is right.
Oh, geez, this is, you know, and it's been your baby. How long have you been up and running at Applebrook Animal Hospital?
I opened Applebrook in 1998, and it was previously a residence. So I bought the residence and started with the only customers were my mom and my dad and their cat and dog.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about just a family affair. I mean, that is amazing. I mean, listen, veterinarians have had a long history of being just outstanding members of the community. And it sounds like Applebrook really embodies that. You've got, you know, it was a previous house and now you have built it into a business. Do you feel, and this is really interesting, because do you feel that just having a residence, having the hospital as a residence, does that help to remove some fear in our pets as well?
I think so. We tried really hard to keep it homey. I mean, back then, nobody knew about fear-free and no one had given a lot of thought to the way pets see the visit. But I kind of wanted it to be homey, really for everybody, not just the pets, the people too. So I tried to make it homey. And it is a home setup, but we still have to do the things that veterinarians have to do.
Yeah, no doubt. You mentioned fear-free. And in the framework that I kind of described when we started off, in terms of there are pets that come in, their heart is pounding. Their sympathetic nervous system is on full go, fight or flight. They're looking around and they want to know, they're thinking, what is about to happen? And, you know, obviously, as a surgery doctor, I see that, you know, multiple times a day. And fortunately for us, we have some medications at our, you know, disposal to help really reduce that stress level. But I'd love to know, what does it mean to you to be fear-free and to really foster that environment in your practice?
Well, it's interesting because I was actually the nation's first fear-free certified professional. So I am certified. I've undergone a lot of extra training to address fear, anxiety, and stress in my patients. And people don't really realize that the anxiety actually begins at home. When you're nervous about putting your cat in the carrier, your cat realizes that. When your dog is seeing you head for the car and your body language seems a little stressed, they can read that. They are so tuned in to us. So I think that it kind of begins at home.
It begins at home. And, you know, when you say, listen, they are so tuned into us, it really talks and speaks regarding that human-animal bond. I mean, I think that is so well said because, you know, we are tuned into them. We know, hey, I've heard people say, Doc, I know my dog really well. I know my cat really well. I rabbit, hamster. They say to me, I'm really connected to them and I know exactly when they're not feeling well. And conversely, our pets are also tuned into us as well. They know when we're stressed and they know when we are particularly heightened about what we're about to experience. My question is, before they get into that car, are there things that they can do to lower that stress for their pet?
Absolutely, there are. And I kind of know my patients too. I've been there for a while and I already knew the ones that were a little stressed. I think that people are open to hearing about anxiety medication if they know me, but sometimes people are afraid. I had one lady explain that she had a fear of giving her pet medication to make things better. But we just had to explain that kind of fear is in the brain and you can't unlearn fear. I mean, you can't learn not to be afraid of the dentist. There are just things that you can do after the fact, and we can't expect our pets to unlearn that. So it is really important that we start early with puppies and kittens so they never develop that fear. That's really, it's like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, you know, like you were saying about vaccinations. Preventing the fear from ever starting is the easiest way.
Oh, geez, that's so well said. I mean, this sounds like I'm having a confessional here, but there's just another confession I have to make. When I was growing up, my dog was extremely fearful of the veterinarian. In fact, we had to go to the veterinarian before the appointment, pick up medications, and then give it to our dog before. Otherwise, the fear was so great that we were afraid that it would be turn into a fear aggression. And there were a few times in which it did. So, you know, that was having that lived experience, seeing that my dog was, that fear was ingrained. Really, I think it showed me and basically taught me that there are definitely things that you can do at home in order to help your pet out. Now, we gave our dog that medication. It seemed to really knock him out. But guess what? Because of that sympathetic nervous system, that drive, once he drove into that parking lot, he was wide awake as if we had not given him anything. So I know just how powerful fear can be. I guess my question is, a lot of times fear is accompanied by that first appointment. That first appointment sometimes involves vaccines, which is smart because we're protecting them from infectious disease. Are there times where you take advantage of that very first opportunity when giving vaccines to make sure that it's a pleasurable experience and there's less fear during that initial visit?
Well, I would say that it is all the time. I have all kinds of things. You would not believe how fear-free maximized my hospital is. We have aromatherapy. We have music playing. I get teased a lot because I carry a basket, and the basket is full of treats and peanut butter and all kinds of enticing things that I use as distraction. And we kind of make it fun. We put the basket together in the morning, and my patients come rushing to me when I come into the exam room to put their noses in the basket.
Who wouldn't come running to you, Dr. Pernell? I mean, really, who wouldn't come running to you? Everybody's going to do that.
So it's just really been an amazing journey for me and my staff. We love it. We come out of the exam room giving each other high fives because the patient didn't notice that we were vaccinating. I actually have to tell the pet owner, I just gave him a vaccine and he didn't notice. That's the goal, is having them not know that they're getting protected. But the owner still needs to know, of course.
Well, yeah, absolutely. Now, if you wouldn't mind indulging us, there are people who might be listening and like, yeah, I do aromatherapy. I do treats too. But could you just explain to all of the listeners about the amount of training that you had to go through, the certification that you had to go through to become fear-free certified? It is not just about aromatherapy and extra cheats. It's a comprehensive certification, correct?
That is actually true. And it opened my eyes to every opportunity, you know, scent and sight and sound and treats and all of those things. It's a program. And I had to go through 8 hours of training on all of these things. It's
awesome.
Based in science. So they have talked with specialists and behaviorists and all of the scientific research to create a comprehensive plan that teaches certified professionals how to address stress and how to head off stress. And actually, I was the module chief for the second module where you get your renewal, your certification renewal. I actually used all of the things that I learned and the relationships that I have developed with the behaviorists and the anesthesiologists and all of the professionals associated with Fear Free to develop the module for renewal. So it has just been a very exciting journey for my patients and my clients and for me and my staff.
You know, learning and education is truly a lifelong process. You know, we have been through so many years of schooling, but even after that, I love to hear stories like yours where you said, you know what, I'm going to do even more. I'm going to go the extra mile. So this is exciting. I'm the same way. I consider learning a lifelong experience. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the flip side, we're going to talk a little bit about what being in the South, being in that regional Southeast, really how that influences the way you practice, how that influences the way you think about infectious disease. Please stay with us.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Hello, my name is Jennifer Clarkson, and I'm the Executive Director of Dog Aid Community Awareness Program in Detroit, Michigan. The Dog Aid mission is to educate dog owners on dog behavior, health, and wellness, supply low-income owners with food and daily care items, and provide resources for information on routine and emergency veterinary care in the area. We also run a free spay-neuter clinic to work on overpopulation in the city of Detroit, and a free neighborhood-based vaccination and licensure program. We promote permanent identification for the purpose of supporting reunification and assist our local shelters with shelter intervention programs. You can help Dog Aid by visiting our website, which is dogaid.com, dogaide.com, and looking at our Amazon wish list, which we can always use items purchased from. Once again, please visit our website at dogaid, dogaide.com for more information.
Oh, sure. It's all fun and games until someone ends up in a cone. That's right. We are animals. Deal with it. Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
And we're back with Dr. Prim. We're just super pumped. We're in a riveting conversation. We're covering a lot of base here today. We're talking about fear-free, how to take that anxiety away from your pets when they go to their first veterinary appointment, where it, you know, and Dr. Prim already mentioned that it starts at home, which is beautiful. And now we're just going to slightly move into infectious disease, because Dr. Prim, you know, when we started, I asked you to set the scene for me. And I'm thinking, you know, because I actually had 4 beautiful years in the South going to Tuskegee University in Alabama. And so I'm thinking about warm weather, moisture, mosquitoes, humidity. Is that the kind of thing that you're living through on a daily basis?
It is. And I have to ask a lot of questions of my clients because different people have different lifestyles and risk factors. And certainly vaccination is not just a one size fits all thing. And so we have to talk about travel and exposure and do you hike and do you camp and all of that kind of stuff. Certainly very regional and very pet specific, I think.
Yes, you know, it is pet specific. And that leads me to think about vaccines, because when I'm thinking about vaccines, there is no one cookie cutter approach to any particular pet. When we're talking about how to keep them protected, how to keep them from infectious disease, I like to categorize them. And so does the American Animal Hospital Association. I like to categorize vaccines from core to non-core vaccines, and core being the ones that are absolutely required, and non-core being those vaccines that are based on lifestyle. Are there any vaccines that you give just in terms of a lifestyle change, or because there's some regional considerations being in the Southeast United States?
Absolutely. There is more than one, actually.
Right.
We have a kind of a little questionnaire that we ask to help us help the pet owners decide which ones are appropriate. Certainly canine influenza and
That's a huge one.
And canine kennel cough, Bordetella. Those are very lifestyle. I mean, boarding, going to see the groomer, coming to stay at my hospital. You know, it helps me decide if the pet is at risk. And then I make the recommendations of these vaccines based on that.
That makes sense. I always tell people it's the life of the party. If your pet is the life of the party, he's going around greeting, or he or she's going around greeting everybody, then that's beautiful because it's social and it means they've got a great personality, but it also puts them at risk, just like a daycare, of picking up, you know, potential infectious disease. You know, do you have considerations in regards to Lyme disease? And the reason why I ask is because I'm from a state where that was the birthplace of Lyme disease, Lyme, Connecticut. And so being down south, I wanted to know if that plays into your considerations at all.
Well, actually, it's not as big of a consideration in my area. It is my understanding that there is a mouse that plays a role in the transmission of Lyme disease, and it is not something we have down here. So Lyme disease is not one of my big fears that I'm going to see that unless the pet has traveled or goes back and forth. So it's out there. It's not one of my huge red flags here, though.
Oh, well, that's honestly, you really lucked out, and the pets in the community really lucked out. When I was in Connecticut, I would say approximately 6 out of every 10 patients that I saw was Lyme positive. Now, that didn't mean that they were actually had the symptoms and the pain and all of the signs associated with Lyme, but certainly they had been exposed. And for everybody listening out there, Borrelia burgdorferi is the actual bacteria that causes these signs. And I'm just so happy to hear that you're not seeing that a lot where you're from. One lifestyle, or let's call it a non-core vaccine in that category as well, is the leptospirosis vaccine. I'm very curious if you are seeing that, because you mentioned mice, and we know that leptospirosis is a bacteria that can really wreak havoc on the liver and the kidneys, and that can be found in the urine of mice, skunks, and other rodents. So I'm very curious if down south you're seeing that as well.
Well, I vaccinate for that pretty comprehensively. I don't see it very much, but I live just north of Chattanooga, Tennessee. So we're in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains, and most of my clients are campers and hikers and canoers and fishermen and women. So It is something we vaccinate for pretty regularly.
You know, when I'm listening to you and I hear you say we're up in the foothills of the Smoky Mountains and we've got campers and fishermen, and it just sounds like a chapter out of a storybook. I mean, were you born and raised in the South?
I was raised, I grew up here, and when I actually went to Mississippi to vet school, I went to Mississippi State College of Veterinary Medicine, and I wanted to come back home.
I can't hear an accent at all.
You can't?
Just joking. Of course. It's awesome. I love your accent.
What? Yeah. So I've always been in the South. I really wanted to come home. I love the mountains. It's so scenic here. Everybody calls it the scenic city, but it really is.
Yeah. That's the one thing I hear consistently about the South. And I experienced it too when I was living down South for 4 years, is that it truly is beautiful. It truly is nice. Now, I just wanted to back up for a second and just find out, you know, if you have had any personal experiences going to the doctor and being fearful or having any anxiety yourself. Have you ever had what somebody might describe as either a life-changing or epiphanal moment going to the doctor yourself to say, all right, now I understand where this fear and anxiety is from?
Well, it's funny, but I am sort of well-known in my community, and so I know all my doctors now, and I don't really feel afraid. But I have certainly had some life-changing medical experiences, because I had a really severe head trauma, a traumatic brain injury, because fell off of a horse. And I've always loved all animals. Did you know about that?
Well, you know, there was conversation. And I said, you've got to talk to Dr. Prim. She's wonderful to talk to. You must find out if she's ever had like an issue on the medical side. And it turns out it's a traumatic brain injury. You actually fell off of a horse. When was this?
This was when I first opened my practice. In fact, my practice celebrated the first year, the grand opening anniversary, without me, because I was in rehabilitation for the closed head injury. I had a helmet on when I fell. We were on the side of the mountain, back to the same scenic thing, and my saddle broke and I fell. If I had not had a helmet on, I would not be here talking to you. So I got to experience some things that were really life-changing. I lost my ability to walk. I was in a wheelchair for a while. And I lost my memory, all of my short-term memory. I didn't know my husband, but it was really interesting, I think, that I never forgot I was a veterinarian and I never forgot my medical training. And so when the physical therapists and occupational therapists would come and ask me questions, I would just look at them like they were crazy. You know, why am I getting this drug? I could name dog breeds. I could name drug doses, but then I didn't know my husband. So it was pretty remarkable, I think.
Wow. You know, your husband, thank goodness he didn't take that personally. Just tell him that they really pounded all that information into our heads in vet school, so much so that not even a traumatic brain injury could knock it out of our heads. So that's actually a good thing. Now, how long did it take you to recover?
It took about 6 weeks.
It took you about 6 weeks. And after that 6 weeks, you were able to begin practicing again.
I came back part-time. The local veterinary association, actually in the adjoining county where I practiced the year before, took turns keeping my clinic open while I was out, which I thought was really pretty awesome. Veterinarians are really cool people. We kind of get a bad reputation, but it's not true at all. Veterinarians are wonderful people, and it's a profession that I am so proud to be a part of.
You know, I might be a little biased, but I will have to agree with you. I do think vets are kind of cool people. You know, so I think for a lot of pet parents, when I'm talking to them, it's their lived experience that they bring into the medical condition. For instance, I was just talking to a Bouvier who dislocated his kneecap because he was playing at a daycare. And just talking to that pet parent, she just said, you know, when I was playing basketball, I did the same thing to my kneecap. And so it's great when we connect with what they're experiencing. Are there anything that you took away from that lived experience that you had from being surrounded by a team of medical professionals and doctors, and how that influences your practice and the way that you practice? Did you take anything from that experience to the veterinary hospital?
I think I did. Well, the first thing that stood out to me is that I realized I'm in the right place. I am still here for a reason, and veterinary medicine is my calling. It sounds kind of cheesy, but it really is my calling, because when I couldn't remember anything else, I could remember that. And I was treated really kindly with a lot of empathy, and I felt very supported. And I think that's super important for pet owners, to feel like there's a partner with them in the care of their pets. So it definitely changed me and made me better, I think.
I love the idea that we continually improve and continually get better at helping our pets, at treating our pets through our own personal lived experience. You know, one thing that I thought was just fascinating in talking to you today is just in regards to how you incorporate so many different elements just in one appointment. Your considerations are with the regional influences, there's infectious disease components, and then there's fear-free. And you incorporate all of those into your practice on a daily basis. I think, you know, what's great is to know that vaccines save lives, vaccines help keep our pets protected, but it doesn't have to be a stressful experience for them, right? It doesn't have to be something that either the pet parent has to be fearful of or the pet has to be fearful of.
Well, if they aren't getting the vaccines because the owner is afraid of their reaction to the vet, then nobody gets helped.
Wow. That honestly is, I think that's the strongest and most illustrative sentiment in regards to that human-animal bond. If the pet parent is afraid to get the vaccine, then your pet won't get it. And then that leaves a possibility of infectious disease. And, you know, some of these infectious diseases can actually affect us too. So that loop or that circle is completed. You know what? Why don't we leave it there? Because that is definitely something I'm going to think about the rest of the day. I just want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining the podcast. I hope that everybody who's listening really learned something about what it means to be fear-free, how to keep disease prevented through the use of vaccines and considerations towards infectious disease. So thank you so much, Dr. Prim. I would love if you would join us again to talk more just in a later podcast.
Well, thanks for having me. There are really more things that we could say, aren't there?
Yeah, I know. We could talk about this all day. And just fair warning, if we get on the topic of puppies or kittens, I mean, it could be a long day for you.
I know.
Well, thanks again. I really appreciate it, and I hope you come back and join us soon.
Thanks again.
Well, there you have it. It's Dr. Prim, wonderful veterinarian down in Tennessee. Applebrook Animal Hospital, incredible. I just thinking about the South, and it just brings me back. But it's wonderful to get a chance to talk to her, and we covered a lot of ground. Please join us for our next podcast. We are going to continually cover ground. So until next time, thanks for joining me. And just remember, there's nothing stronger than the human-animal bond.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.